Hi there, I'm Todd Fraser with another ANZIC CTG podcast from the 19th annual CTG meeting from the beautiful Noosa Heads. Joining me on this episode is Dr. Andrew Woody from Melbourne's Alfred Hospital to discuss his upcoming trial, the NRT or nicotine replacement trial. Andrew, thanks very much for coming in. Firstly, smoking is obviously still a very common health-related or lifestyle-related health issue. How does it contribute to your outcome in the intensive care? What do we know about that in ICU patients?
Yeah, look, there's no doubt it's still a major public health problem. Mm. Smokers are overrepresented in critically ill patients. And what we know from observational data is certainly that being an active smoker, having a history of smoking, is an independent risk factor for dying in hospital after being admitted to the ICU. And it's not so much actually your status as being a smoker versus a non-smoker, it's more actually your smoking history. So the heavier smoker you are, the more likely you actually are to die in hospital. Even when we adjust for how sick you are on admission, your age and your chronic comorbidities. And that's some data from a few years ago. So that tells us that smoking certainly it could be a modifiable factor in terms of a patient, whether a patient lives or dies from their ICU admission.
Does the, aside from things like emphysema and so on, worsening their lung function and those sorts of things, is there anything related to the smoking itself, for example, the nicotine exposure that makes...
Well, it's possible, I guess. That's really where this idea, sprung from. We know nicotine makes up around about 0.6 to sort of 3% of tobacco in terms of dry weight. Every cigarette yields around 2 milligrams of absorbed nicotine. It's highly addictive. It's a stimulant. It's a parasympathomimetic stimulant, axon nicotinic acetylcholine receptors, and we know that when you stop smoking suddenly because you get into a car accident and you're a heavy smoker and you come into the ICU, you have a period of forced abstinence from smoking. And maybe that withdrawal of nicotine, the sudden withdrawal of nicotine, may then contribute to adverse outcomes in the ICU. It certainly may increase your risk of agitation, of delirium. And then obviously we know that delirium itself is a very clear independent risk factor for a prolonged ICU stay and also for greater mortality. And also, of course, there's cognitive effects, long-term cognitive effects of episodes of delirium. So certainly the forced abstinence and withdrawal of nicotine may then convey an increased risk of adverse outcomes in the ICU.
So it's that forced abstinence that may be an issue, and we often think about this as a housekeeping duty, but should we be taking it more seriously, do you think?
Yeah, well, I think, this I guess is the point of raising this as a potential research topic. So certainly when you think about it from a first principle point of view, you think, well, okay, let's replace that nicotine, let's give that nicotine back to those patients, and then even prophylactically, we'll therefore reduce the likelihood of delirium and agitation, we get the patient out of ICU quicker, we can improve their outcomes. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, of course, this is a drug that we're prescribing to patients and we don't really know its effects in the intensive care population. And if you look at studies at the moment, there's really conflicting evidence mostly from observational studies, almost all observational studies, retrospective, cohort, case control studies, which show variable effects. Some show some benefit in terms of mortality, some show some harm in terms of mortality and some harm in terms of a greater length of stay when you give nicotine. Some show some benefit, particularly in the neurosurgical population, and other studies just show equivalence. So it's really weak data. It's particularly poor quality. So I don't think we know the answer in terms of whether we should be routinely replacing nicotine in this patient population.
Is there any preclinical data about the effects of replacing nicotine?
We don't have much, not in the critical care population. We certainly know outside in the community, there's no doubt nicotine replacement therapy works. There's really robust data to show that if you want to try and increase your chances of quitting smoking, then nicotine replacement therapy helps with the craving, reduces your chances of falling off the wagon, if you like, if you're having nicotine replacement therapy. So, and there's no doubt, I think, and from that point of view, I mean, this is an important public health strategy. And I'm certainly not suggesting in any way, shape or form that we should abandon nicotine replacement therapy in the general population, because I think that there's good evidence to suggest that it works. It's just that really in our group of critically ill patients, who are at risk already from delirium and agitation, and who have significant perturbations in physiology, is does that same data apply to the critically ill patient? And the answer is we just don't know. We just don't know what the right answer is.
You mentioned some of those potential physiological or pharmacological effects of nicotine. Do you think that there's a potential harmful effect of nicotine replacement?
Well, it's certainly, I mean, it's a stimulant. It's a vasoconstrictor. And so, yes, I think there is potentially harm associated with the regular replacement of nicotine. And so I just think it's really worthwhile studying. And there's no, you know, the guidelines out there are just, you know, non-existent, because it's just not evidence for us to have a look at. So there could be harm, it could be benefit.
Yep. Yeah. So tell us about the trial that you're proposing.
Well, I think we'd like to look at a blinded, placebo-controlled, randomized controlled trial, a phase two study, which is going to look at the incidence of agitation and delirium in active smokers that we randomised to either get nicotine replacement therapy or not, or placebo. And we would just look at whether, you know, they look at the incidence of agitation, delirium, and antipsychotic use, and probably a surrogate marker such as ICU-free days to day 28, something like that, which would give us, hopefully some idea of whether there is a signal to either benefit or harm from nicotine replacement therapy, and we could then power that up to a larger study, perhaps looking at mortality. But really, I think what the question and the reason I'm here at the CTG meeting is to gauge whether there's enthusiasm for this sort of thing amongst the community. The CTG obviously is undertaking numerous trials at the moment, and I guess it's trying to see whether this fits into people's schedules and whether it's something that we can get, you know, people can get motivated and enthusiastic about.
So one of the great things about the CTG is the supportive environment that it gives to researchers who have an interesting question that they would like to find the answers to. And one of the things that you were saying earlier is that you've been able to present that to the group today. What was that experience like?
I mean, it's great. The CTG is really a receptive group. It's a community that has been evolving and growing and developing over, you know, 20 plus years. And part of the mission statement for the CTG is to foster new ideas, be innovative, support young researchers, fledgling researchers. So, there was a lot of support for the project. The question really comes down to one of pragmatics, and whether or not, first of all, people feel in their own practice that there's enough smokers coming through, whether or not they would feel comfortable getting involved in a blinded trial, whether they have equipoise themselves on this question, essentially. Going about trying to actually set up a trial and all of the logistics that are associated with that. Those are some big hurdles that obviously have to be crossed. And I think today was more about just just really trying to gauge from the community whether this is something that people were interested in, and I'd hope that people would then get in touch with me directly to see whether we could set up a small group that would be interested in taking this further forward.
Great, Andrew. Thanks very much for your time.
No worries. Thanks very much, Todd.
Thanks for joining me again on this ANZIC CTG podcast. For more episodes, check out my blog at www.essentialcriticalcare.com.